they know he's able.
Amen. 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 Sing with authority. I'm telling you, amen. Amen. He's able. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. Amen. And let's give our youth a hand because they've been such a blessing, and we thank God for them. We thank God for each one of you. And as we've come today, we always want to hear God's word. Kendall, thank you for that prayer, man.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's good to see God working in the lives of young people, because the young people today, they're not taking it seriously. And, well, a lot of the old people are not taking it serious either, but amen. But we know that God has a plan for our lives. We know that. We know that he is able. We know that his mercy endures forever. And what we got to do is commit ourselves to following Christ. Amen. We're closer than ever before to him coming back. And if you don't believe he's coming back, just look at the signs. Look at the things that are going on in the world and the events that are taking place. All of it, while the Bible may not give you the specifics of everything, it gives you enough for you to have an indicator, hey, God's getting ready to do something. God's getting ready to come back, and people need to take it seriously. Amen? Amen. Last Sunday, we started off talking about how do you win in life, what it takes to win in life. Everybody knows what it's like to lose. We know what it's like to fail. We know what it's like to fall down. But how do you get your life back together? A greater question would be, what does God want for my life? Does he want me to lose? Or does he want me to win on his terms? Not my terms. Winning doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be richer, you're going to be better looking, that you're going to have all these things of the world. Winning means that you are fulfilling the purpose of why God put you in this world. And I believe that everyone can experience that. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, he comes not to just join you in what you're doing. He comes to transform everything in your life totally and completely so that you'll know that he's God. So we started off talking about what it takes to win. Today we're going to talk about the winning way. We're still continuing with that, but we're also going to take it a little bit further on being prepared. Being prepared. I take you to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and beginning with verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Being prepared, or how do you be prepared? You may be seated. Father, I thank you again for your amazing grace. I pray that you would use me for your glory, that you'd help me to share the things that you gave me and study me. I present these things with power and conviction. May people not hear just the thoughts of man, but may they hear, God, your word. May they hear the truth, and I pray that the truth would set them free. We love you, we thank you, and we give you glory. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Clap your hands, all you people. Amen. So what does it mean to be prepared? How does that interpret when we're looking at the Bible and we're trying to apply the truth of God to our lives? You and I, we live in this what we call natural world, but there's also the spiritual world. There's the world where God reigns. Well, he reigns over everything, but when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about entering into it through the Spirit. And the only way that you can enter into the kingdom of God is that you have to be born into it, just like in this life. The only way you can use the five senses is that you have to be born, have a body, and you are able to share that with the world, and you're able to go about the world and experience it through those five senses. Now that you are born again, God has given you what's known as the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Go ahead, put me on this main one. And the Spirit of God enters into you, gives you life, gives you the ability so that now you can communicate with God, all right? You can walk with him, as people say. You can have fellowship with God. You can pray to him because God now lives in you. The question is, how does all that happen? How does all that take place? Is it just something that we automatically know? Well, when you were born in the natural world, it took you a while to get adjusted to what the world was all about. You had parents to take care of you. You had somebody to feed you, clothe you, change you, and all those things until you got to the place where you were able to do it for yourself. You matured. So when you talk about preparation, two things are involved. One is time. It's going to take time. You learn more, you know more as you grow in time and as you are able to learn these things. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This introduces us to the second thing. It's a process. It's not just going to happen automatically. There are some things that you've got to do that God is going to work out through you. Amen? So you got to be prepared. Now, if I said to you, I know one of our young men said that he was going to grow up and be a football player. If I said to you that I'm a professional football player, don't laugh. All things are possible. You would want some proof. And me making that statement is not going to make me a professional football player. I've got to go through the training. Even if I had been a former NFL player, even if I had been, you would still expect me to go through the training and to do those things. They have these camps where they go in and they learn, or they learn more strategies. They learn how to run the plays, and they learn how to do certain things to catch the ball and to be able to run with it. And they develop strength because they're prepared. I'm afraid that in the church of the living God, we got more spectators than participants. We got more people watching the Christian experience than we have actually living the Christian experience. What happened? Did God miss something? Did he not do his part? God did what he said he was going to do. It's on us. Now, I want you to listen to the words of John again, because he's not just introducing his gospel. John was a writer, and he wrote that first, actually, in time frame, John's gospel, Mark's gospel is actually the oldest gospel. It's actually the oldest gospel that we have. And then the other writers, which Luke and Matthew, they actually took portions of his gospel. They too were eyewitnesses. Luke was not an eyewitness, but he was one that observed. He went out and he studied. He asked questions. He interviewed people. But Mark actually lived in that time, wrote down what Jesus did. And in his introduction, he's not just saying, hey, I'm writing a book. I want y'all to pay attention. If you read it that way, you're not going to get the meaning of it. Mark is saying to you, if you want Christ to begin in your life, here's where you got to start. Are you all with me? Now listen to his words. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare whose way? Your way. God's going to get you prepared. Because why give you a gospel if you can't handle it? Why put me out on the football field and give me the ball and expect me to run? I got these other 6 feet plus guys, you know, and they're looking at me growling, right? We got too many Christians trying to live the gospel life, but not really knowing how to live it because they haven't gotten to the starting point. The starting point is God needs to prepare you. God has to work in you in order for you to fulfill what his will is. You got a whole lot of folk trying and ain't making it. You got a whole lot of people that are saying, I think I can. You're not the little train that tried to climb the hill. This thing is serious. So here we are. We want to look at some things in our lives. We want to go through this as we ask ourselves, are we prepared? Are we prepared? Now, I tell you one thing, if you're not prepared, the devil's going to know it. He's definitely going to know it. And if you're not prepared, now you're influencing other people because you're not prepared. They say, well, I'll just do what he does. Or I'll just do what she does. If they don't live the certain life, then I'll just follow them. Problem is, when you get to heaven, you can't say, well, I just did what they did. God's going to look at you and say, wait a minute, how did I deal with you? Notice in this verse, it's God who's preparing us. It's Christ who is working in us. It's the goodness of God that's now in us. So when we ask the question, are we prepared? Here's some things we got to look at. Well, maybe, yeah, I think I am. Young people, get ready to take a test. And you haven't studied. What do you think is going to happen in that test? You're going to fail. If you'd studied, if you'd prepared, then you can probably say, hey, I feel confident that I'm going to do okay. I'd gotten to the place that in some of my studies, I'd gotten to the place where I almost had a photographic memory. I could actually look at the page. And when I'm taking the test, I'm kind of focused. I'm so focused that I can look at the page and read the answer right off the page. But if I hadn't studied, you can have all the kind of photographic memory you want to. If you didn't look at the page, it's not happening. Christian, are you prepared? And you say, well, what does this have to do about living and winning in life? If Christ were to appear today, would you be able to say, yes, I'm prepared? Or would your answer be like most people, no, I'm not prepared. I don't know how. I don't know how to live life. Then this whole Bible is really not relevant, is what you're saying. If you're saying, I'm not prepared and I can't prepare, then you're ruling out the power of God and the power of Scripture to change your life. Now, somebody's got to be right, either you or God. And what Mark is telling you, here's how you begin this thing. By you getting into it and saying, God, change my way. Make my way your way. Make my thoughts your thoughts. Make my words your words. Give me power to walk this thing. Give me the grace so that when I do fail, I can get back up and get in the race again and not give up, but I can move forward. Being prepared. And then some may say, well, I'm almost. Horseshoes will work that way, you know, you almost, yeah, almost get something. And then there are those who don't know. So what do we do? What do we have to do? Unprepared people fall into a couple of categories. I wrote them down. I trust you'll do the same. Unprepared people, and Mark will introduce us to those. If you go through the Gospel of Mark and you read it, there were some people unprepared because they said, hey, I don't need it. I'm already righteous. The religious leaders felt like that if God was going to speak, God needed to speak through them. And they discounted John the Baptist. They discounted all of those who were in this thing called the way. Why? They felt like they were the elite. Have you run into a couple of those in your lifetime? Folks know everything about God. Know more about your life than what you do. Tell you how long they've been in church. Self-righteous. But a truthful person will say to you, if I'm not connected with God, I have no power. So really what we're talking about is checking your connection with God, making sure that you are not only in Christ, but you are anchored in Him. You know what a ship does when it comes to port? They'll drop this thing called an anchor. It's a heavy weight to make sure that it doesn't move. Are you anchored in Christ? Are you secure in Him? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus is real in your life? When you got that confidence, you don't worry about your own righteousness. God's going to work through you. So you have those who are unprepared because they are self-righteous. You have those that, well, you know, pat themselves on the back, say, hey, I'm doing a good job, you know, and what a nice person I am. Then you got a second category of those who are so much into the world. A little while ago, I told you about the five senses and how those five senses actually impact the way you live in this world. If you depend on your smell, taste, sight, hearing, and touch as your only way of learning in life, you're going to miss a whole lot. Matter of fact, you're going to miss God altogether. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But what is born of the Spirit is now come to life and it's alive in you if you really know Christ. Worldly-minded people, they hear the word of God, and because of the cares of this world, because of their goal of being number one, getting all the riches and getting all the influences and power, now they're dependent on those things to make them happy. And when it doesn't happen, that's when they get frustrated and give up. You get a lot of people frustrated, a lot of people angry. Angry at who? Angry about what? Because they can't get their way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about your way. It's about God's way. The Bible tells us many times to come out of the world. And then when it's saying come out of the world, it's not talking about, you know, go down to wherever they launch these spaceships and get on a spaceship and you know, launch out in outer space. Because if space wasn't messed up before you got there, it's going to be messed up when you get there. He's not talking about escaping the world through those things. He's talking about coming out of the world by getting into the spiritual things of God. Recognizing that God has called you to live in a different realm where He can talk with you every day. Wouldn't you love that? Wouldn't you love just, you know, got a problem? Hey, God, what do I do about this problem? And the Lord answer you back, and you know that it's the Lord because it's also verified by the Word. Wouldn't that be neat? It can happen. But what do you got to do? Be prepared. You got to be prepared. Say that with me. Be prepared. I'm almost done with my sermon. Can you believe that? 10 minutes into it, I'm almost done, Brother Slayton. That's pretty good, huh? But here's the thing that we've got to make sure that we are committed to God. Uncommitted people will never be prepared. People who are not willing to say, hey, I'm going to put my life on this. I'm going to hang my life on this, what it says. People who have believed the gospel, who have trusted Christ, have said, I'm putting it all on the line. I'm asking you today not to just give Him some of your life. I'm asking you, put it all on the line. I don't know, preacher. I don't know about that. Well, what did God do for you? He put it all on the line. His last drop of blood was shed so that you could be free. And when he died on the cross, one of the last words of Jesus was not, "I'm finished." He said, "It is finished." Everything that you needed, I'm about to shout up here. Everything that it took to get you from out of your sin into the grace of God, Jesus said, "It's done." And not just for you, but for everybody who would ever be born at any time. Jesus, when it said paid it all, he paid it all. Look at somebody, tell him, he paid it all. He didn't leave part of it owing, but now in order for you to experience that, you've got to get into God, and you can't come halfway. I'm preaching now. You know, when I grew up, I was kind of taught, you know, well, you can have one foot in the church, another foot in the world. You're getting ready to have some leg problem with that. Especially as you get older. You can't stretch that much. Put it all in the hands of Jesus. Put it all in God's care. Stop saying, "Well, I need the world, but I'm also going to enjoy God." I'm here to tell you, if you just taste of God's goodness, you'll find out you don't need the world. So what do we need to do? How do we get prepared? We gave you the three categories of people. Self-righteous, they're not prepared. They don't want to prepare. Worldly people, in the world's way, they don't want to prepare. And those who are uncommitted, they don't want to prepare. You know, anytime, and I'm thankful to God for this church. We have good attendance here at the church. People that are really concerned about learning about God. A lot of churches, they don't have a lot of people. Why? Is it the church? Is it the preacher? No, people don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hunger and thirst after God, you're not going to put it off and say, "Well, I'll get something later on." That thirst gets so much into you that you got to have it. Now, I don't know about you. Amen. But I got to have Jesus every day, not just on Sunday, but every day. But then Sunday, I look at that as the icing on the cake. How many of y'all are glad to be here in Jesus' name? Let me help you out with that. You could have been dead and gone, but he let you live. You ought to give him some praise today. I'm thankful that I'm alive. And not only am I alive, but I'm alive in Jesus. Yesterday is behind me. I got a brand new day. Miss Campbell, I can shout because God gave me the strength to shout. Look at somebody, tell him, ain't he good? Look at somebody else, ask him, ain't he good? All right, I got y'all getting me excited here. You getting me too excited. But I learned something. Before a game, schools used to have these things called pep rallies. All right? Why can't we make Sunday morning a pep rally? Why can't we get the folks together just and say, anybody love Jesus up in here? Then somebody can raise their hand. Maybe somebody testify about how good God is. I don't want to lose this fight. I don't want to lose this journey. I want to put on the whole armor of God. I might not be able to fight long, but I tell you what, I want to fight well. I'm excited about this thing. So get somebody to tell them, be prepared. How do you live prepared? Get ready to close here. Following what Mark wrote down and what John the Baptist preached about, he said, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of what? The Lord. Not my way. Not your way. I love this thing in the church. We got what we call a democratic system of voting, which means majority rule, right? What if the majority is wrong? Well, we got to go with the majority. No, 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 no. If the majority decide they want to go to hell, I don't want to go along with y'all. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say, y'all go ahead. I'm going to be the dissenting vote, all right? But take God seriously. Take him seriously. Don't just take him for granted. Take his word seriously. You may not understand everything in the Bible. The scriptures that you don't understand, put a little earmarker beside it and say, don't understand. And I guarantee you, when you go back to that scripture, God is going to give you a level of understanding to where you can at least get part of it. Because he wants you to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How many of y'all believe that today? Second thing you got to do, if you're going to be prepared and live prepared, set some priorities for living. Set some priorities. What I mean by that, I got priorities for my money, all right? My dad, fifth grade education, told me, if you don't know where your money is, somebody else does. Pretty good, huh, Danny? If you don't know where your money is, somebody else does. Dad had a priority with money. I have a priority with the things of God. One, I love God more than anything else and more than any other person in this world. Does not mean I don't love you. Does not mean I don't care for you. But I love God first. If you love God first, everybody else gonna line up. Amen. My wife doesn't mind it when I say I love Jesus more than her. Because I got to go to Jesus to get some love for her. And sometimes when I get mad at her, Jesus tell me you better go on and love her. Anyhow, are y'all with me today? In school, young folk, you're going to run across some folks that you can't stand. What do you need to do? You got to love them. But you can't love them until you love Jesus. What am I saying? Set some priorities in life. If your priority, young folks, is to grow up and have a good time, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Because nothing in this world can make you happy. And truly, a person who has joy except Jesus Christ. When he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light, you better take him at his word. You're not going to find it in another place. And people are making the mistakes, getting old, making the same mistakes, thinking that they can find joy in a bottle. Work all week long. Go to the ABC store, get them something to drink, and think it's going to make it. It'll get you out of your mind. It'll bomb you. But then you got to wake up. Don't know what you did. Don't know where you are. How do I know? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But God has a better way. Amen. The ways of the world were never designed to give you that true joy. But the ways of God, even though you have to face hardship every day, just knowing that he walks with you. Amen. Just knowing that you can take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Set some priorities. What do we mean by priorities? Things that are not important, don't get bent out of shape over them. What is most important, put that at the top of your list. If you need God every day and every hour, then you better put him at the top of the list. Because God will never take second place to anybody or anything. Set some priorities. Almost done. Clean up. And fix up. What I mean by that? Am I going to get into this today? I'm just wondering. Open up a can of worms. Don't call yourself a Christian unless you really mean it. I could leave it at that, but you know me, I ain't gonna leave it at that. You got people that believe in living any kind of life and yet saying they're a child of God. I know some of y'all think I'm going someplace. Let me just introduce the subject of gossip. Everybody getting quiet in here, Penny. Just because somebody tells you something doesn't give you license to tell somebody else. You got to make sure that your life is following the example of Jesus Christ. The four Gospels, Mark says, prepare the way of the Lord. He wasn't just talking about any kind of way. He was talking about the Lord's way. And the Lord's way is when you follow Christ, you learn a different way of living. Now, how do you clean up? I'm going to give you an example that I applied in my life. My uncle, MacArthur. My wife knows where I'm going with this. Douglas MacArthur Coleman. He was a good-looking man, as you can imagine. He dressed nice. And I wanted to be like Mac, because Mac was cool. All the other people, you know, they were okay. I had cousins who were okay. Mac was cool. He was the black version of, you know, the Fonz. They used to say the Fonz line. Young people looking at me like, Fonz who? I wanted to be exactly like him, because that's all I knew. And at the age of 16, Mac died. Now what? Now who do I go to? Now who do I follow? Good news is, 3 years later, I met another man, and he was cooler. Matter of fact, he was the coolest. This man called Jesus, that I met through the gospel, needing a way to live, he said, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. You know what? Mac looked good, but now I look better because I got Jesus in my life. Now, I say that jokingly, but having Christ in you gives you a spiritual look. It adds flavor to your life. You don't fly off the handle when everything goes wrong. You know you can pray. You know you can seek God. And so by the grace of God, I was able to clean up some of that stuff that I messed up. Didn't mean that I'm now saved by my works, but because I'm walking with him, I'm looking at how he acts, and I'm saying, well, I need to act like that. In other words, I learned you don't cuss folk out. Some of y'all ain't learned that yet. I'm still working on it, preacher. They get on my last nerve, them words just fly. I don't know where they come from, don't know where they're going, but sure feel good when I say it, but then think about it after you say it. Oh, I didn't mean to say it. Yeah, you meant to say it. Because you didn't have something on the inside working on the outside. I still believe in holiness. I still believe that people ought to live so God can use you. I still believe that if Christ is in you, he's going to help you not to do those things that are wrong, but do those things which are right. I believe in that because it's God's working in you. So you got to take it seriously. That's number one, right? If you're going to live prepared, that's what Mark wrote in this gospel. He said, so a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make paths, straight paths for him. And then John the Baptist came and preached it. He preached it. This is the way you live. People came from everywhere to hear John. Why? Because they knew he was serious about the kingdom of God. What I'm afraid of is that there are many people not experiencing the kingdom life, which is really that life of victory, that life of winning, because they have not gone through these steps of saying, I want to take it seriously. And I'm asking you to do that today. I'm asking you to set some priorities. Amen. I'm asking that you would commit to what is written in the Bible. Are you going to every day be perfect? No, but at least if you fall in the right direction. Clean up and fix up. And then lastly, give the praise and credit to God. In all your ways, honor him. Praise him. Live a life of praise. And when I say praise, get crazy about it. If the Lord gives you anything, you say, thank you, Lord. If the Lord blesses you while you're out in traffic to get a spot where you can move up a little closer, just say, thank you, Lord. Because if you praise him for the little things, you'll automatically praise him for the great things. And I'm believing that the more we do these things, we're going to experience greater victory in our life. You're not going to have to go through life with your head all hung down, worried about what's going to happen next and what are the political leaders going to do? What are the nations going to do? You just look up and say, God, you're still on the throne. God, you're still making a way out of no way. God, you're still providing for me. And every day that you get up, he puts food on your table. May not be gourmet food, but I tell you what, if you cook it right, it still tastes good. Can I get a witness here? You've got to honor God in all your ways. I have made up my mind that I am going to serve the Lord. I know some of y'all say, well, you're 70 years old. You ought to make up your mind. But I'm not going to live defeated. I was feeling some kind of way about getting old, right? But I ain't feeling that way no more. You know why? I'm taking some vitamins. I feel better. Enjoy your life. You only got one of them. And if you got Almighty God who says, I'll walk with you through this life, why are you walking around with your head hung down like you don't know? Touch somebody, tell him, he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. And watch this. And the joy, touch somebody, tell him, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'm asking, do you know him? If you know him, show some sign. If you know him, love him. If you know him, serve him. If you know him, get excited about it. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not worth you serving God. It is worth it. Every day I live, it is worth it. And one of these old days, I'm going to say goodbye to this tabernacle. But guess what? I got me a home in glory. I got me a place where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary are at rest. I don't know about you, but I'm living the victory life. How about you today? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Be prepared. Be prepared. Because when you prepare, you can say, Lord, I thank you for the life I live. Even the burdens I have, they're a little bit lighter because I got Jesus. Be prepared. Live that way. Walk that way. And you'll have the joy of the Lord in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for the power of your goodness and your kindness toward us. And Lord, I'm praying that if there's someone here today, maybe I've said something that have touched their heart. Help them to understand what it means to be prepared for the way of the Lord. Help them to walk with you and to serve you. We love you and we thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Those that are online, we know that you can't come in here, but you can write to us or correspond with us at our website, crossroadbc.com. We'd love to talk with you, love to share more of the word with you. But you're in here and maybe you've heard the message and God has now convicted. I want you to really understand that Christ did this for you, that you might be free, that you can live that victorious life. If there's one today, you feel the Spirit moving upon your heart, we invite you to come with everyone.